Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts. Tonight on the Worldview Report, a whistleblower comes forward with evidence he was offered money to post false statements on social media about President Trump and his supporters. One of Philadelphia's most notorious drag show performers suddenly collapses and dies of a heart attack during an onstage act. A major airline company, well, they're getting ready to roll out electric planes as the green propaganda blitz continues to run wild. And should the U.S. Department of Agriculture be allowed to label GMO foods with only a QR code? A federal court has weighed in with a verdict. All these stories and more as the Worldview Report begins right now.
This is Worldview Report with host Brennan House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brennan House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Report. I'm your host, Brennan House. TikTok influencer and attorney Preston Moore has gone public with a video saying that he was offered $400 to spread false information about former President Donald Trump related to the January 6th investigation. Preston disclosed in a September 16th post to TikTok, quote, "I was just offered $400 to make an anti-Donald Trump propaganda post related to the January 6th investigation that is completely not true. I should start out this video by saying I am not a Donald Trump supporter. So that should give a little bit of context to where I'm coming from," end quote. It's important to spell out who this man is. Preston Moore is an attorney in the firm's personal injury and products liability section. He works on cases involving serious injuries and bad products. He earned his Juris Doctorate from Harvard Law School and is currently working in Beasley Allen's Atlanta office. Now, according to Moore, he received an email from somebody with the Good Info Foundation. He explained, quote, "I'm going to refer to this person as Jane. Jane sent me a message letting me know she represented the Good Info Foundation and that she was willing to offer a paid collaboration to discuss some topics related to January 6th. I said, sure, why not? I'll learn some more. Jane says the Good Info Foundation will give me $400 to make a post on my page and then share it on Instagram," end quote. Here he is further explaining how the Good Info Foundation went about soliciting him to become a propagandist for hire. Watch this.
"I was just offered $400 to make an anti-Donald Trump propaganda post related to the January 6th investigation that is completely not true. I should start out this video by saying I'm not a Donald Trump supporter, so that should give a little bit of context to where I'm coming from. I'm an attorney. I post legal news and analysis on related topics. Okay, here we go with the story. So first thing first, I get an email from somebody with the Good Info Foundation. We'll talk about them a little more in a minute. I'm going to refer to this person as Jane. Jane sent me a message letting me know she represented the Good Info Foundation and that she was willing to offer a paid collaboration to discuss some topics related to January 6th. said, sure, why not? I'll learn some more. Jane says the Good Info Foundation will give me $400 to make a post on my page and then share it to Instagram. So you see that blue link? All right, here, we're going to follow it. These are the specific requirements in order to obtain that $400 of how I should refer to the January 6th Capitol raid. Number one, I must call this a criminal conspiracy. Number two, I must say Trump Republicans were responsible. Number three, I must frame it as an attack on my country, an attack on America or Americans, a criminal conspiracy, and a committed crime. I must attribute the matter to MAGA Republicans. I must make clear that this was ongoing and unresolved. And most importantly, that I must channel all of this unto the manipulation of voter agencies so that I could turn their anger around this event into defiance that would make people more likely to vote in midterms. And the thing that struck me the most was this part, where I was told to talk about the aspects of the Trump campaign's plan. And I was supposed to say that the Trump campaign paid literally millions of dollars to make January 6th happen. So I figured, you know, maybe I missed something. So I said, hey, Jane, what is the basis for the claim that the Trump campaign itself paid millions of dollars to make the January 6th siege of the Capitol happen? Jane doesn't answer the question. Hi, Preston. If you don't want to state that in the video, it's fine. You don't have to use all the bullet points provided. So I kept going. Sure, I'm just wondering if there's support for that claim. Jane doesn't answer again. Let me know if you are interested and the rate works for you. Thanks so much. I'm not interested, and the rate doesn't work for me. This is the Good Info Foundation. They boast on their homepage that good information is the lifeblood of a democracy. They further cry that we are in an information crisis. And you know the crazy thing about all of that? They're right.
Wow, that's a stunning revelation by a non-Trumper who also happens to be an attorney. And he was openly solicited to post false information against a group of Americans. Someone should be filing a suit against this foundation for, I believe, racketeering, maybe fraud by wire, and anything else that a good attorney could come up with to make them pay damages for what I believe and many believe is their fraudulent claims about being a promoter of so-called good information. According to an investigator for the Philadelphia Medical Examiner's Office, Valencia Prime, the 25-year-old transgender drag queen from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, suddenly collapsed and died while performing on stage as part of a drag show on September 12th, as reported by a celebrity media outlet, TMZ. TMZ said that a Philadelphia Police Department representative told them that a call was received at around 11:15 p.m. on Monday. The call was from the Taboo Lounge and Sports Bar in Philly, informing the police of an individual collapsing. That same person was pronounced dead just before midnight. Valencia Prime's cause of death was reported by TMZ to be cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and obesity, although no official postmortem results has been given yet. And don't you think it's a little preposterous for a media outlet to unilaterally declare that a 25-year-old would die of a heart attack without any scientific evidence, no autopsy, no toxicology report? A video recorded live during Valencia's so-called performance and subsequent collapse was circulating on social media, but it's too graphic to show here because, again, this person, well, they perform what is borderline pornographic. And the only reason we're even discussing this story is because here is another young person dropping dead. Does it have anything to do with the COVID shot? Not only that, the Philadelphia media is eulogizing the drag queen as someone who, quote, made an impact with her performances and her life, end quote. And that was reported by ABC Channel 6 in Philadelphia. The Taboo Lounge and Sports Bar posted a message on its Twitter profile that referred to Valencia Prime as a, quote, bright and rising star, end quote. Meanwhile, in the same week that we learned about this drag queen's death, a 10-year-old Indiana boy collapsed September 13th and died of a heart attack after playing a football game. And a 17-year-old Tennessee boy collapsed after finishing a cross-country race on September 10th. Doctors said they were baffled as to why they found two large blood clots in the 17-year-old boy's body after he suffered a heart attack. Air Canada announced last week it has ordered 30 plug-in electric planes from a Swedish electronic aircraft startup company, Hart Aerospace. The planes have a range of less than 250 miles per charge. Air Canada will be acquiring 30 ES-30 electric hybrid regional aircraft, which will have the capacity for up to 30 passengers to travel between 124 and 248 miles. That's what the company said in a press release on Thursday. Air Canada stated in the release, quote, "The revolutionary regional aircraft expected to enter service in 2028 will generate zero emissions flying on battery power and yield significant operational savings and benefits." Under the agreement, Air Canada has also acquired a $5 million equity stake in Hart Aerospace, end quote. As noted by Breitbart News, the claim of so-called zero emissions from the electric vehicles is a myth, when emissions related to the production of batteries are taken into account, as well as the generation of electric power to charge the vehicles. Michael Rousseau, President and Chief Executive Officer of Air Canada, said, quote, "Air Canada has taken a leadership position in the industry to address climate change," end quote. In other words, folks, Air Canada is implementing the United Nations Agenda 2030 Sustainable Development ideology coming down from the UN and the World Economic Forum. So the head of this organization is bragging about being at the forefront of this globalist movement. He said, quote, "The introduction into our fleet of ES-30 electric regional aircraft from Hart Aerospace will be a step forward to our goal of net zero emissions by 2050. Already, Air Canada is supporting the development of new technologies such as sustainable aviation fuels and carbon capture to address climate change," end quote. The electric vehicles, folks, will be powered by lithium-ion batteries and will be equipped with reserve hybrid generators. It's expected to take 30 to 50 minutes to charge the aircraft. The Federalist has a bombshell article exposing the dirty dealings of the Michigan Department of Education. This story is not for the faint of heart. A new program from the Michigan Department of Education advocates for gender so-called fluidity, starting at the elementary school level, and encourages educators to, quote, "facilitate the sexual transition of minors without parental consent," end quote. After obtaining videos and internal documentation from the state's training program, which first took place in 2020 and was repackaged for public school employees for the 2021-2022 school year, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, Christopher Rufo, reported that the, quote, "training program mimics the basic narrative of academic queer theory. The presenters claim that the West has created a false notion that gender is binary in order to oppress racial and sexual minorities," end quote. In response, Rufo reported the department encourages teachers to adopt the principles of, quote, "intersectionality," end quote, which is a key tenet of critical race theory. They're doing this in order to, quote, "dismantle systems of oppression," end quote, they say, which they believe are replicated through the culture and institutions of education. The first step to dismantling these systems, according to the presenters, is, quote, "disrupt the gender binary," end quote. In one video, self-described, quote, "black masculine identified cisgendered lesbian baby boomer," end quote, the trainer, Amaro Robinson, describes the vast array of gender, quote, "terminology out there for educators to learn," end quote, such as, quote, "gender fluid," end quote, "gender queer," end quote, or, quote, "gender nonconforming," end quote. Watch this video.
You know, and there's some terminology related to that as well. Left of femme, being a butch, being masculine presenting, being queer, being a stud. Gender normative, gender fluid, gender neutral, and gender non-binary. There's a lot of terminology out there for us to learn. And then lastly, at least for today anyway, is sexual orientation. I'm sure that's a term you may have heard of before, or you call it attractionality. It's a person's experience of their emotional, romantic, and or sexual attraction to others. So where you see the heart and the chest, you know, we feel that attraction and you hear it, feel the heart pumping, and you got a crush on somebody and you want to get to know them. That's that attraction, that feeling. And we, you know, you can even, you know, a lot of children, or if you go back to your own childhood, you might remember having crushes when you were little. So that attractional or sexual orientation. So there's some corresponding terms that you may have heard, like pansexual. And I've come to believe that that is someone who is attracted to people, regardless of their sex assigned at birth, regardless of the gender identity, regardless of the gender expression, and on and on. Asexual, lesbian, straight, gay, bisexual, queer, questioning, demisexual, demiromantic, aromantic, and scoliosexual. I'll leave that to you to go to Google on those, because we ain't got time today.
When asked in a separate clip by a teacher who wanted to know, quote, how to respond to a student in her classroom who claims to have she, he, they, them pronouns, end quote, Robinson replied by telling the instructor to, quote, go with what the kid says, end quote, because, quote, they're the best experts on their lives. They're the best experts on their own identities and their own bodies. You may have to sit with some discomfort sometimes, end quote. We'll be right back after this break. In March of 2022, Biden signed an executive order dealing with cryptocurrencies. The Federal Reserve and the Secretary of the Treasury are all talking about America moving to digital currencies. Many nations are now talking about moving to digital currency. My friends, I've been warning folks for years that when they go to a digital currency combined with social credit scores, they'll be able to turn you off, turn off your bank account, just like that. We saw recently in Canada where they implemented emergency powers and began to seize the bank accounts of people that simply were doing peaceful protesting in favor of freedom and liberty. We already know that in America, we who are patriotic conservative Christians have been deemed domestic terrorists for showing up at school board meetings and letting our school boards know we don't want our children taught Marxism under the guise of critical race theory. We don't want the mandated mask onto our children. We don't want mandated vaccines. And yet that has many labeled by the FBI as potential or actually domestic terrorist. We now know that the World Economic Forum openly in their own documents is calling for a digital currency and digital ID for everyone in the world. And we know the Biden regime is fully on board. They openly state that your digital identity will be tied to social credit scores and your ability to get a loan will be tied to that information. Why would you be under the thumb of the globalists and the elite when you already know what it is they're saying about you and what they're doing in America and around the world? Why would you leave yourself vulnerable to them turning off your account, leaving you helpless? My friends, I believe this is where precious metals come in. I don't give financial advice, but I do give financial opinion. And for years, I've been advising my audience to take seriously becoming educated on the issue of precious metals, and particularly numismatic. Many people don't even know what numismatic coins are. They're coins that are 1933 and older, and by law, they're private. It's a great way, I believe, for people to store their wealth, not to make money, but to protect your money as a hedge against inflation. If you want to get a free report with no obligation, I urge you to call my friend Wes Peters. I've been working with Swiss America as a sponsor of our organization and conferences for over 15 years. Wes is a retired Marine. You can text him your name and number, and he'll send you the packet of information, no obligation. You don't even have to call him. You can simply text his cell phone at 602-558-8585. Give him your mailing address. Say, I want the free packet of information Brandon talked about, and it'll be on its way. Just text him your name and address to 602-558-8585. Then after you get the packet of information, go through it, and when you're ready to have your questions answered, you can call Wes back. That number again to text your name and address to get the free packet of information that's no obligation is 602-558-8585. Again, 602-558-8585. Don't you think you've been given plenty of warning for what's coming? Isn't it time for a prudent man, a wise man, to take refuge? Welcome back. This next story comes to us via a Substack post from The Vigilant Fox. Governments across the globe have made it very difficult to get access to reliable data on the experimental mRNA COVID injections. But for a brief time in Canada, the province of British Columbia did its job. According to their data, between March 20th and April 16th, 2022, 63% of all people infected with COVID-19 had received a booster shot. And 73% of all people dying with or from COVID had received a booster. You then look up the percentage of Canadians who had a booster shot at that time, and you discover that it was only 47%. So what does that mean? That means the boosted demographic was 34% more likely to contract COVID and 55% more likely to die with or from COVID than those who received two shots, one shot, or no shots at all. They then updated their website with numbers from May through July, and the number of boosted people infected with COVID jumped to 76%. But on July 28th, in a very, well, non-suspicious fashion, the data disappeared from their website without any explanation. So there you go. End of the data. Poof. Gone. Twitter has reportedly failed to adequately police underage pornography across its social network, posing the risk of a federal investigation that could cost the company billions of dollars in fines. That's what the New York Post has reported. The social media site, which is in the middle of a court battle with Elon Musk to enforce an agreement to sell him the company for $44 billion, may have broken a so-called consent decree with the Federal Trade Commission. And the company reportedly found in an internal study this year that it doesn't adequately stop underage users from viewing and uploading porn. That's what two former FTC officials told the Post. Twitter executives reportedly found in an internal study that the company lacked adequate controls to prevent underage users from both accessing and uploading pornography. That's according to an August 30th story in The Verge, which cited an internal Twitter team's findings. Unlike other major social media companies, Twitter allows porn on its site. The internal researchers reportedly said the site also is unable to consistently detect banned content such as child porn, revenge porn, and non-consensual photos once it's uploaded to the site. In other news, the German Association of Towns and Municipalities is warning about a grid-down catastrophe that doomsday preppers have long been worried about: blackouts and ensuing widespread civil unrest because of European leaders' knee-jerk sanctions against Russia. At the same time, they're rushing to implement green energy policies. So the European people will have to pay insanely high energy costs and live under the constant threat of blackouts, especially during the cold winter months. That's what's being reported by Natural News. One German district, well, they hired a private consultant to simulate and analyze the direst threats in the event of an extended blackout this winter. The simulation predicts that 400 deaths are inevitable inside the district in just the first 96 hours, according to Natural News. If temperatures drop, the deaths will be much higher, especially for the elderly. The Federal Association of Private Providers of Social Services, well, they're warning that, quote, this crisis will cost some providers their existence because the burdens from rising energy costs, general inflation, and the omnipresent shortage of skilled workers can no longer be born, end quote. The association added that retirement communities and nursing homes will be, quote, threatened to an unprecedented extent, end quote. In the first 24 hours of a German blackout, substations would fail and water tanks would run dry, causing an entirely new set of problems, according to the simulation. Livestock would die. Looting and arson would contribute to hundreds of millions of dollars in damages within the first day. In just 2 days, most cell phones would be inoperable. People would panic. District Fire Inspector Christian Rossell is warning Germans to prepare immediately by getting a 14-day supply of food and drinking water. Well, according to a report in the Wall Street Journal, soaring natural gas prices in the U.S. are expected to make it more expensive for Americans to light and heat their homes this winter as well. Prices, as many of you know, has doubled in recent months. Polio, once nearly eradicated, is making a comeback in New York City and possibly in other places across the nation. A state of emergency has been declared by Governor Kathy Hochul, as scientists warn that this is a vaccine-derived version of the deadly disease. Now, conservative journalist J.D. Rucker reports that data points are emerging in Western media, albeit slowly, that point to Bill Gates. Rucker writes, quote, "This has been well known in places like India, where the World Health Organization and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation have worked hard to get the live oral polio vaccine administered to as many people as possible. The results? Nearly 500,000 children have become paralyzed since 2000, end quote. One might wonder, how could this possibly be allowed to continue in India, Africa, and other developing regions? Well, the answer, quite frankly, is infuriating, says Rucker, adding, quote, "They've gotten away with it because they renamed the disease." Seriously. The massive number of adverse reactions are being blamed on non-polio acute flaccid paralysis, which honest scientists and doctors admit is just a rebranding of a new and more deadly strain of polio that emerged from the vaccines, end quote. Well, guess what? Now, it's here in the United States, despite the fact that the Gates vaccine was outlawed here over two decades ago. Has it been quietly reintroduced to spark the next round of pandemic panic theater? Rucker believes there's a good chance that it has. So stay tuned as we learn more about this developing story. Mike Lindell is ready for a legal fight, and he's bringing it to the FBI's doorstep. After being cornered by the FBI and having his cell phone confiscated, Lindell announced in an interview with yours truly that he will be suing the FBI and the federal government. And in fact, on his show last night, he announced at the very end the lawsuit has been filed. In the first moments of Brandon House Live last night, I actually showed the lawsuit. And we've also been interviewing Alan Dershowitz, and more will be coming, along with attorney Kurt Olson and attorney Patrick McSweeney. Mike met with attorneys, including Alan Dershowitz, to discuss the raid and capture of his cell phone while returning from a hunting trip last week. Together, they determined that the FBI's actions clearly violated Mike Lindell's First, Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment rights. As you know, the First Amendment protects freedom of speech, spoken and written. It also protects religious beliefs and people's right to petition the government. However, people might not be as familiar with the Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments. Well, all are on the line with the FBI raid, according to Dershowitz. And in fact, attorney Patrick McSweeney reports that if Mike Lindell loses this case, Americans are going to face massive civil rights losses and the loss of many constitutional rights. We'll be right back with tonight's Worldview Report commentary. Welcome back. Now it's time for our nightly Worldview Report commentary. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is set to once again extend the COVID-19 public health emergency beyond its deadline of October 13th. If renewed on the deadline of October 13th, the next deadline would be January 11th, 2023, so reports Becker's Hospital Review. This would be the 11th renewal of the emergency status since its declaration in January of 2020 by former and current HHS Secretaries Alex Azar and Javier Becerra under Presidents Trump and Biden, respectively. Hospitals have advocated for the extension. That's according to Becker's report. The renewal would occur as HHS plans to shift cost of COVID-19 vaccines and treatments to the commercial market, process beginning this fall that's expected to take months. In July, the Federation of American Hospitals, which represents investor-owned or managed hospitals, urged HHS, quote, in the strongest terms possible, end quote, to renew PHE through 2023. This, despite the fact that there is no COVID emergency, and making the case for a COVID emergency would be laughable if ever aired in a public debate between knowledgeable medical practitioners. Governments love emergencies and a crisis. Why? Because it is during those declared emergencies that they accumulate new powers that would normally not be tolerated or obeyed by the American people. And as we've seen with 9/11 and now COVID, once they gain possession of these new extra so-called constitutional powers, they never give them up. This should be a lesson to every American. Dictatorships are formed on the backs of so-called emergencies. That's the modus operandi for every authoritarian regime the world over. They take over during times of fear and uncertainty, and they never relent. So it's no coincidence that we see the Biden regime going after its enemies, silencing free speech, ignoring Supreme Court decisions, demanding conformity to a type of one-party rule, all in the wake of the so-called COVID emergency. So, Americans, you've been warned. Well, that does it for this edition of the Worldview Report. And as always, we thank you for tuning in and for supporting us. Because remember, we are a listener-supported broadcast. Let me again tell you, as I do every night, how you can support us. Because without your support, this program doesn't stay afloat. It takes a team of about seven of us, 15 man-hours a day, to put it together. So please consider doing one or all of the following. Going to MyPillow.com and using that promo code B66. You get savings, we get credit here. You get savings, we get credit when you use that promo code B66. Please ask your friends and your family members to go to MyPillow.com as well and ask them to please use the promo code B66 so you and they get savings and we get credit to fund this broadcast. All right? Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, robes, mattress toppers, mattresses themselves, towels, and so much more can be found at MyPillow.com. But again, please use that promo code B66. Then you can go to mystore.com. You can find the new My Coffee by Mike Lindell. The whole bean are already ground, including the coffee pods as well. Mystore.com. Again, use that promo code B66. You'll save up to 25% on your purchase of coffee there when you use that code B66, and we get credit. You'll also find other products there by American entrepreneurs. So always use that promo code B66 there as well. You can also go to WVWTVstore.com. There you'll find emergency freeze-dried food with a 25-year shelf life. Why on earth, in these uncertain times, would you not want to have emergency freeze-dried food? Look, I got some for my family in 2013. Then I started the distribution side for our company, our organization, to help service our clients, our people, our listeners, because they were asking for it. And we also use the revenue as a big part of our general operating budget to expand my broadcast and programs. In fact, it's because of people ordering things through my store and supporting my foundation, I'm able to offer my latest documentary, Brainwashed America Part 2, absolutely for free. I used to sell my documentaries. Now I make them available for free. You guys support us through our foundation, through my store, WVWTVstore.com. And then I make more stuff available for free because I can afford to. So please consider purchasing your emergency freeze-dried food from us at WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. You can also order over the phone if you prefer by calling 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Finally, you can just go to WVWFoundation.com and make a contribution of any size. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail, WVWFoundation.com, and you can support us with a contribution over the phone, 901-468-9357. Well, that's our broadcast for tonight. As always, thank you for watching, and till next time, I'm Brandon House. May God save America. Take care. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you appreciate all the radio shows that I present to you that are free at worldviewradio.com? How about all the TV shows? I'm on TV 4 hours a day, and you can watch all of it for free at WVWTV.com. It's free for you, but it's not free for me. Do you know I spend thousands of dollars a month in bandwidth bills? If you appreciate all the free radio shows, all the free TV shows, guess what? I need your support. We are a listener-supported broadcast. How about my new Worldview Report? You know that's been picked up by 6 different television networks? We don't charge them. We let them take that for free. We let a lot of different networks pick up our programming free of charge. But guess what? It costs, tens of thousands of dollars to produce these shows each and every month. Our radio shows, our TV shows, the IT guys that maintain the websites and the Roku channel and all we do. We need your support. And one way you can do it is by making a contribution right now at WVWFoundation.com. We really need your support. WVWFoundation.com. WVWFoundation.com. You can also call this number. This number now is only for making a contribution or ordering products online. It's not a customer support number where you call and ask a bunch of questions. The people that answer this phone are only for taking your order or where you can make a contribution. And that number is 901-468-9357. 901-468-9357. Again, area code 901-468-9357. And again, you can also make a contribution online at WVWFoundation.com, or you could use our mailing address, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee. That's Collierville, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. Again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. So there's your 3 ways to support us: through the mail, over the phone, or online. However you support us and how much doesn't matter. The fact you support us is so greatly appreciated. Thank you so much for your support.